Be honest, y'all were getting nervous, weren't you? And they say, no, you never doubted it. Never doubted for a minute. What a glorious time. It really is. And thank you for being here today. We are doing a number of things today. We have already had baptism. We will celebrate communion in just a couple minutes here. But we are also wrapping up our 40 days in the Word. And as you remember, 40 days in the Word is kind of an instructional time, but it's definitely not the parameters of the only time that you should be studying God's Word, okay? So let's make that very clear. 40 days in the Word has helped us to refocus on the importance of God's Word in our life. And it's something that hopefully the skills and the habits that we've developed in the last 40 days will move us forward. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then you're really my followers. You're my disciples. If you continue. He didn't say, let's do it 40 days, see how that works and go from there. No, he said, if you continue in my word, you are my disciple. And so this week, I want to just kind of pull everything together, look briefly at how we maintain a heart for God's word. How do we integrate God's word into every area of our life? And even as I use the word integrate, let me back up and say, you know, usually we need to define these words, so we'll do that. But let me tell you what integration is not. Integration is not separation, okay, or segregation. Separation or segregation is when you segment your life and you live a life that's different in different areas of your life. For example, you may take a slice of the pie and say, okay, that's my personal life. I'm going to behave that way here. And this is my church life. I'm going to behave this way here. And this is my business life. I'm going to behave a different way there. And this is my home life. I'll behave differently there. Here's my social life here. And you segment your life so you have kind of this very strange arrangement of behaviors in your life. If you have an integrated life, you don't behave like that. Integrated and integrity are the same root word. To have integrity means that your life is integrated. It's a whole. You don't act one way while you're with one group and a different way when you're with another group. You don't act differently at church than you do in your social life or on the ball field or wherever life may take you. To act in the same way in all areas of your life is to live an integrated life or a life of integrity. And I want that for you. I want that for each and every one of you to feel like that you're really being consistent with who God is in your life, and so that's demonstrated to other people. But how does it happen? How does it happen? I believe you have to have a desire for that to be the way it is in your life. You have to deeply desire having an integrated life, and that's where it starts. Psalm 119, verse 20, in the Contemporary English Version says this, what I want most of all, what you desire, what I want most of all and at all times, meaning integrated, what I want most of all and at all times is to honor your laws. Now, what David was saying here is that he wanted to be a man of God's word. Whether it's at home or at work or wherever he happened to be, playing with the kids, wherever, he wanted to be a man of God's word. And I want my life to be led and guided and directed to the word and by the word of God. And if I want to do that, if I want to live this kind of integrated life, I think there's several things. They're not necessarily in this order, but I think there's components of an integrated life. And the first of which is I need to build on God's word. You remember the week we talked about the foundation and scripture being the foundation for your life and how, you know, with a solid foundation, you can build these massive structures on them, but with a weak foundation, you can't do that. So we're going back to that. You know, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, toward the end in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And then we talked about truth being unchanging. The truth of God's word is unchanging. Opinions change almost daily, maybe several times daily. Okay, opinions change, but God's word does not change. It's unchanging. It's truth. And so when the storms of life come, you don't crumble. You can lean on God's word. You can build on that. Building on the shifting sands, as the children's song goes. You know, if you build on the children's sands, on shifting sands, what happens when the storms come? Choir, whoosh. It's whoosh or whoosh. Yeah, yeah. You know, the bottom line is it's washed out from underneath you. It's washed out from. So let's look briefly at what shifting sands may be. The first one could be popular culture. Well, Exodus 23:2 says, don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. Why is that? Because they're wrong. Yes, this is not trick questions, okay? This is straight ahead stuff. The popular culture can be wrong, and they are many times. The second thing not to build your life upon is tradition. And you say, well, wait a minute, Raymond. You're in trouble now. Well, you know, we need to distinguish what is timeless from what is archaic, okay? We need to distinguish what is tradition for tradition's sake and what is truly God's word. Even Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 8, now he's talking to a group of religious leaders. He says, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. The point he was trying to make is the word of God should take precedence. The third shifting sand that we often build on, and wrongly so, is human reason. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. Human reason can lead us in the wrong path. And fourth, emotions. We don't want to build on emotions. Why is that? They can change. Are you saying that you can get emotional someday and make a bad decision? Certainly. Certainly. Emotions change. Feelings lie to us, you know? And 5,000 years ago in the book of Judges, Judges 21, it says, at that time there was no king in Israel, and people did whatever they felt like doing. Sounds a lot like 2013 to me, but that... just saying, okay? We won't belabor the point. There are shifting sands within our culture, within our time, we should not be building on. We should build on the foundation of God's word. And after you start building on it, the second thing, if you want to have an integrated life, is that you must learn to feed on it. How often do you eat? That sounds like a really personal question, okay? How often do you eat? My point is, do you eat once a month? No. Do you eat at Christmas and Easter only? No. Do you eat once a week? No. How often do you read God's word? And yet Scripture itself says that it is spiritual food. It is the water. It is the milk. It is the bread. It is the meat of spiritual life. But yet we're guilty of starving ourselves, spiritually speaking. The Bible also says we're in spiritual warfare. How are you equipped for spiritual warfare if you're spiritually starving? In Colossians 3:16, the Bible says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you. Let it move into you. Let it inhabit you. Take up residence in a rich, profound, life-giving way. That's what the verse is saying. So not only do we need to feed on it, we need to build upon it, but we also thirdly need to live by the word of God. Live by it. Well, what does that mean? Well, the word of God is not only food for your soul. The word of God is your standard of living. It's the word of God that sets the standard by which you judge everything else of value in your life. It is the standard by which you make decisions for everything else that you face in life. You know, you've got to build your life on something. You've got to base those decisions on something. And when it comes to when we allow the word of God to become the standard by which we live, that we are truly beginning to integrate God's word into our life. In Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but who meditates on the word of God. Now, let's try to define for just a second the counsel of the ungodly. Can you think of an example of the counsel of the ungodly? Let me give you a hint. Go home, turn on the TV. There is a really good chance, no matter what channel you turn it on, there is a little bit of counsel of the ungodly going on there. Listen to the radio. Read the newspapers. Read popular magazines. I mean, I hate to be so down on pop culture, but the reality is that that is the counsel of the ungodly purely because their aim, their goal is not to give spiritual guidance. And if it is, they're falling way short of God's word. Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart. Remember when Jesus was tempted? He had hidden God's word in his heart. So that when he was tempted, how did he respond? Scripture. Exactly. And how did he know that? Did he have the scrolls with him? No, he had hidden God's word. He had memorized it. He knew. He knew how to respond appropriately. Fourth, I want to grow through it. I want to grow through God's word if I'm going to integrate it. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about seeds. Remember that? How a seed needs to be, you know, God's word is a seed. It needs to grow within your life. And there's also a story in the Bible where Jesus tells this parable. And it's called the parable of the sower sometimes. I prefer to call it the parable of the soils. Because so many times we read this parable and we go, well, I know people like that. I know a guy like this. I know a guy like that soil. I really, after kind of reading through it over and over again, I don't really think he's talking about four different kinds of people. I think he's talking about four different kinds of attitude, all of which we can all exhibit on the same day. Amen? We can't. We really can't. Think about it. The first soil is the hardened soil. That is representative of a closed mind. Someone doesn't want to hear it. Maybe there's times in your day you just don't want to hear it. Okay? The second kind of soil that the farmer throws seed on is the shallow soil. That is a mind that's superficial. Perhaps as a habit or perhaps just at that given moment. But it can happen to us too. The third kind of soul is a soul with weeds in it. That would be a preoccupied mind. A mind that is busy thinking about other things that have absolutely nothing to do with eternity. Have absolutely no good to do for the kingdom. Preoccupied. Then finally, Jesus said there's a fourth kind of soul. And that would be a fertile soul. That would be a willing mind. That is a mind that says, I'm teachable, I'm humble, Lord, teach me. I don't know it all. Which leads us to the fifth component of an integrated life. And that is, I've got to act on it. Now, I know that one of the Sunday school classes this morning had a lesson on James chapter 1, verse 22. And we've been hammering it just about every week in here. But let's do it one more time. James 1:22 says, do not merely be a listener of the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Act upon it. Do what it says. Apply God's word daily. I build on it. I feed on it. I live by it. I grow through it. I act upon it. And then I live it out by trusting in it. By trusting in what it says. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you remember a couple weeks ago we were talking about the lantern? Do you remember the significance of the lantern? It was the idea that if you're going down a path and you want to see what's ahead of you, you don't have a beacon that shines that illuminates the whole path, do you? You have a lamp. You have a lantern. And how do you see the next step? You have to take the first one. Exactly right. You have to take the first one. And that's how we act upon it. We act upon it in trust. We trust God's word, so we act upon it. We take the new steps. We build on it. We feed on it. We live by it. We grow through it. I act upon it. And I live it out by trusting in God's word daily. It sounds like a pretty good plan, doesn't it? It sounds like a plan that will lead us beyond just 40 days of study. And a life that's truly committed to Christ. And as we think about our commitment to Christ, we have to think about his commitment to us. And he was so committed to us that he gave his life as a living sacrifice. He also gave his life, physical life, died for us. And as we go to the Lord's table, we think about that. And we should. We should think about the nature of his sacrifice for us. And as we think about the bread, we think about his body that was broken. And as we think about the cup, we think about his blood that was spilled for us. Let me say, as we go to the table, that we at College Park practice open communion. And what that means is that if you are a believer, whether you are a member of College Park or not, that's not important. The main thing is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So whether you're a member of College Park or not, as we take communion together, I invite you to join with us in receiving communion.